Hello once again. This is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley. And what a delight it is to be in the house of the Lord on a Sunday. Recently, I've been preaching around in little churches, and it's been very exciting to see how people enjoy the Word of God. And so I've been sharing that, not with big congregations, but with lots of little congregations, and it's been exciting. So keep your eye and heart in the Word of God so that you can rejoice in Him daily. Today I would like to go take you with me into Isaiah. Isaiah is a fascinating book. The prophet Isaiah is a great man of God. And in the 43rd chapter and verses 1 through 3, we have a great statement that is made. It says quite simply in verse 1, "Now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee, since thou wast precious in my sight." And so on. Look at these two expressions that God gives us. He says, fear not. Then three things he says he's done. I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. And then we go into verse 4 and find that he says, since thou wast precious in my sight. I don't think I can bring to you the whole of what I want to say, but I can say some things to you about this piece of scripture. The first is that we are adopted and we become sons, or children, if you prefer, children of God, and we have a family name. This family name is revealed in 1 John 3 and verse 1. "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." There has been a great movement in the church in recent years to become like the world, and I don't understand why. Because simply God has said, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. So why do we want to be like the world? Why do we want to dress like the world, behave like the world, conduct ourselves like people of the world? When Jesus said very simply and very provocatively, "You are not of this world." And he went on to say, "I do not pray for them." This is John 17. "That are in the world, I pray that thou shouldest keep them from the world." So all the business that we are into politically in our day is rather disturbing, because we find ourselves talking about global this and global that, and we need to have a one man to lead the whole world government, a one man-made government. Don't people realize that the world is talking about the things that the Bible prophesied more than 3,000 years ago, that man would come to a one economy, a global currency, a global government? It's so ridiculous. This country of ours, America, is a sovereign country. How dare any of our politicians listen to these politicians from South America telling us that Arizona is in error and we'd better do something about it or else? What foolishness! We don't have no reason to listen to those people. We are a sovereign country. But there is a leaning in the hierarchy of our country to this globalization. We've all got to be one big happy community. God says it's not going to happen. So I relax. However, in order for it not to happen, you have to understand what is happening. And what is happening is this. We read, for instance, in Revelation, that in the end times, and I believe that's where we are at this moment, there will be a time when God will remove his spirit from the river Euphrates to allow the armies of the east, which is China, India, to come through to fight Israel. Now, for some reason, the whole world is focused on Israel. It's one of the smallest nations of the world. Couldn't be much smaller. The airplanes that take you as a guest to their country have to go out into the Mediterranean to turn round because there's no land area that they can turn round in and be over their own sovereign ground. So there's a serious problem, not just for that, but for other reasons. And now we're telling them they can't build because Hamas is upset in Palestine. But before Palestine was even known or recognized, Israel was. Before all these fractions that we talk about today, Israel was a God-given place, and God chose Jerusalem as the holy city. There's to be a new holy city eventually. So what's going to happen according to, I think it's the 13th chapter of Revelation, what's going to be happening is something like this, that the world is going to gather together to do one thing, to chase out the work of the Holy Spirit in Israel and to fight with the Son of God. Now that is the world order. Notice all the religions of the world are ganging up against not Christianity, but people who trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And it will be a terrible time, and there will be a bloody battle, and the whole earth will come to fight around Israel and in Israel, and there will be terrible things take place. But the Son of Man, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, will come and with a word destroy the nations of the world. You want to be part of this global system? It's going to be wiped out. I know most people don't care to think that Jesus is going to be such a powerful person. We like to think of gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon this little child. That's our view of the Lord Jesus. We view Jesus as the one baby that was laid in a manger. And he was born on that wonderful day that we remember by remembering Christmas or Christ's Mass, which has nothing to do with believing in the Lord Jesus, because Jesus is the Son of God. And those that believe on him as the Son of God have gone beyond the pageantry and the rather simple way of getting all gooey about Christmas, though it's a wonderful time for families. We need to remember that Jesus is the Son of the living God, and he came into this world for a sole purpose of saving our souls. This battle will take place, and the world, the globalization of the world, will be wiped out because Jesus will make his enemies his footstool, says the psalmist. So we have a family name, and our family name is a saint or saints of Jesus. Of course, we can come up with other names, but that's just one. You can also read about this in Revelation 2 and verse 17 and Revelation 3 and verse 12. I must not, cannot spend a lot of time in these various areas. I would love to. But also, as sons, we have a family likeness. It is a beautiful thing to read Colossians 3:10, where we understand the Apostle Paul says, "Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." In other words, I shall be like the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus shall give me a new family name, and I shall bear the family likeness. As sons, we have the parents' nature. And this is important to understand because we read about this in the beautiful expression that comes from 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 and John chapter 1 and verses 12 and 13. In the first chapter of John's Gospel, for instance, we read that Jesus is the one of whom John the disciple says, "We beheld his glory, full of grace and full of truth." We should be people that are radiating that wonderful truth and those wonderful things and those tremendous things that bring us to the image of the Son. Look at Romans 8:29. "Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to conform to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Jesus is the head of the family, the firstborn. We are the brothers, we dare to say, we are brothers of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he shed his blood and won us into the kingdom. How precious it becomes to understand these things. Look at 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. "We all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." So we will have the likeness of the family, and the nature of the family will be in us. Lastly, in this little area, as sons, we have the family affection. I like to think of this because it is very important to me to feel that I have the affection of the family in me because of the needs of people. Jesus spent time with people and he spent time helping them. If you go into the first epistle of John and chapter 2 and verses 9 through 11, you read how we are affectionately part and parcel. We are joint heirs with Christ. We are part of the family of God, so that I can sing with a great volume and blessing, "I'm so glad that I belong to the family of God. Oh, washed in his blood and filled with his Spirit." How precious that is. And when I go into the third chapter of that same epistle, the first of John, chapter 3 and verse 14 through 18, and chapter 4 and verses 7 through 8, and chapter 5 and verse 1, you have to look that up, please. But I would ask you to see that is all on the human side. Now let's look at the divine side. As his children, we are the objects of his particular love. "For God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Oh, how precious that is. Study for yourself John and chapter 17 and verses 2 and 3 and John chapter 16. And verse 27, and here in Isaiah chapter 43 and verses 1 through 3, "Fear not, I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." Jesus said, "I know my sheep, and I call them by name, and they come to me. They hear my voice, and they come to me." There's a beautiful old hymn. "I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast." And I came to Jesus as I was, weary, worn, and sad, and I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. What a precious, precious thought pattern that is. Jesus called me because he knew my name, and he gave me his name. And I am his. Thou art mine. I have three children. They can change their names. They haven't. But they could change their names. They could be all sorts of silliness. And they could get up to all sorts of mischief. and they could be so terribly wrong, but they are so wonderfully right. And I praise God for every one of my three children and their spouses and their grandchildren. I thank God for them because they have discovered these three words, Thou art mine. They have discovered that they are sheep called by Jesus to become his children. And how precious, precious, precious that is. Children are the heritage of the Lord. And what a joy to know that these children walk with the Lord. And so I would say, as his children, there is something else, not just objects of his particular love, but subjects of his fatherly love. If you go into the Word of God, such as in Matthew 6 and verse 32, your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. If he knows I have needs, he meets those needs. And the Word of God says, before they call, I will answer. When I look at how little money I have or how much money I have, I invariably look and say, well, I can bless the children. I can give the children this. I can send the children that. I can help the children with something like this thing or that thing. Because I'm a father, I am concerned with my children. Now, if I, as a sinful man, know how to give good gifts to my children, how much more my heavenly Father, who has no sin, how much more will he bless my children with the Holy Spirit when they ask him? The Word of God is powerful, sharp as a two-edged sword. It divides the soul and the spirit. Let's get into the soul. Let's get into the spirit of each person. And let's understand that as saints, we are called together to bear the likeness of the fatherly care upon us. Let's go to Psalm 37. Look at verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Look at Psalm 75 and verse 2. When I shall receive the congregation, I will judge uprightly. You and I are to be judged whether we're Christian or not, whether we're right with God or not. The judgment falls into two places. The judgment of the saints, so that he can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I just don't want to have to listen to, well. I want to listen to, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I'm terrified I may not hear that. But more than that, he will judge those who have not become saints, not have received the Lord Jesus Christ, who have not received the Word of God as the Word of God. And when that terrible thing has happened to a person, the judgment still falls. There is no compassion, there is no evil, but what we deserve to receive of God, we receive. And the judgment causes us to wail and have a gnashing of teeth, whatever that means, and we are cast into outer darkness. And that's hard to understand. But you see, there was darkness over all the land until God said, let there be light. It may well be that the dinosaurs and all those that predate God's creation on this earth, those things are grotesque. And they are not as beautiful as the animals that God has created. And somehow it may well be that they were built that way and made that way because there was a person that fell from heaven and he fell onto this globe and he was master of this globe, but in the darkness his creation was distorted and ridiculous. And it may well be that those terrifying antediluvian creatures were first put together by Satan. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. It's sort of surmising certain things and a little bit of wishful thinking and reaching out into an unknown piece of territory that no one can prove or disprove. But it is interesting to discover that Those that are the saints of God are in the fatherly care. They are fed and they are looked after. Thou art mine. Do you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you put your trust in him? Do you linger at his feet and gaze up into his face and cry, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty? Then there is another thing. We are subject also to parental discipline. Now here is a subject all of its own, and I dare not get into it because of the time factor. But let me say to you a reading of Hebrews 12 and verses 6 through 11. You will discover how God deals with all the things that man is foolish about. And we become children of parental discipline. God brings us to a place where we shape up, where we become the children of God, that people will recognize our righteousness, not as the righteousness created by man, but the righteousness that God has created in the man. His children, in another sense, are the subjects of parental comfort. I want to take you here, and I want to share with you a couple of things because it's so important. For instance, there are times when I need to be comforted. I am an orphan. No, my parents lived to a ripe old age. At least my mother did. My dad died earlier. But I was well looked after and well turned out into worldly things, and I was able to look after my own family before my mother died. But now I am an orphan. We look at orphans and we say they must be children that have been deserted by their families and they're orphans. But a person who is elderly, has no parents living, and are orphans, then to that older person does the prayer that Jesus gave as an illustration of prayer, Our Father, who art in heaven. Many times do I fall to my knees and cry out, O God, my Father. It is with great affection I approach the throne of grace because he is the Father, my Father, and he has become my Father. He says, Fear not, I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. And I can cry out, Father. As an orphan, I praise him for his adoption of me. To be adopted, the word to adopt comes from two Greek words, and it means quite simply son and to put a son, or to constitute, to make. And so the literal translation, and a good place to look at this, is Ephesians 1:5 and Galatians 4:5. And you will see there how it is that we are the sons of God that are adopted, children of God, children adopted by God, and we are therefore made sons of God. We have to be born again. Moses, found by Pharaoh's daughter and brought up in the palace, was still Hebrew in the heart. He was a Jewish person by blood. The person that receives Christ was known before the foundation of the world and is called into the presence of God. And he knows he's right when he's right with God. And in the presence of God, that rightness shows itself in his daily walk. The paternal comfort is there. Look at 2 Corinthians 1:4, where the writer says, The God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them that are in trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. If you don't know the comfort of God, you would be better trying not to help people with comfort, because you're only reaching across instead of reaching into the heart. For instance, I'll put it this way, and some people might really get upset with this, but I will say it to you this way. I've heard so many people say to a widow who is weeping, I understand what you're going through. yet their husband is there or their wife is there and their children are there. In the wartime, I saw a man standing with six bodies round him. They were his wife and children, and I remember hearing somebody walking up to him and saying, "I know what you're feeling." What a silly thing to say. I can comfort you if I can say to you instead, "Let me share with you the comfort that God gives me. He will never leave you nor forsake you." Isn't that lovely? I have to stop, but I have to also tell you that Isaiah 66 and 13, "A one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you," says God. I look forward to letting God comfort me in all my losses. He does. He will. Let us pray together. Most gracious Father, bless the saints of Jesus and cause us to be so spiritually prosperous that we are alive in you. Our adoption, make it complete, Lord, that we may look like you, sound like you, and be like you. We may conform to your image. God bless this precious word to all those that listen in this country and abroad in other countries of the world. Bless this word, please, now to their hearts. Amen. Now we ask all these things in Jesus' name, and I pray that you will be blessed. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.